I appreciate our young people, and I said that a little bit ago, but you know, it's not easy for everybody to just jump up in front of folks and do this. But I appreciate their willingness to try, and they do a great job. And I appreciate the fact that the Lord is raising up our church. It's not the church of tomorrow. It's our church today. And I'm thankful that God doesn't just put his hand on one generation, Sister Rose, and forget about everybody else. He said, I'm no respecter of persons. And that tells me the promises of yesterday are still good today. They're going to be good for our children in the future. Hallelujah. We're going to have a church. Amen. Be encouraged. That's really tonight the point I was going to try to make. We are the church. And there have been a lot of things come against the church and the name of the church and against us in these last hours. Some have been earned by those who have turned away and have defrauded the name of Christ. Some of those black marks against the church have come because of failures amongst the people or amongst the ministry. But the real church of God, the true church of Jesus Christ, will go on, and it will be victorious tonight. And I just feel like we need to be encouraged. We're on the winning side. There's a lot of things that can come against us in these hours and in this last days, but you know, I must remind us tonight that we are on the winning side. I know whom I have believed in, and I'm still persuaded. I was persuaded when I became a Christian, and I'm still persuaded today, stronger than that Friday night, because I know whom I have believed in. And tonight, church, we need to be reminded that when Jesus said, "You are the light of the world," he meant what he said. In a time filled with darkness, in a generation of darkness and those who have no hope, there is still a lighthouse, hallelujah, and a light that shines to show mankind the way. Hallelujah. Let's stand tonight. Book of Matthew chapter 5. We're going to begin reading in verse 13. Hallelujah. The Bible says, actually, let's go to verse 14. I apologize. Verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but they put that candle on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're the light of the world. That's not something we're boasting in tonight. That's something we need to be reminded. We have got a job to do. Hallelujah. And when we get a hold of that reminder, Brother Brad, it spurs something up in us. Amen. A calling that is higher than we are. A purpose that is greater than my own being. And something that I can live for. I'm the light of the world. That has nothing to do with me, but he that is in me. Hallelujah. Can we pray tonight that the Lord would have his way in the remaining of this service? Heavenly Father, I love you. I'm so thankful that you forgave me of my sin. You changed my life, God. You transformed me. I'm nowhere near where I want to be, but I thank you that you've brought me from where I used to be. God, I praise you tonight for salvation. I glorify you for your grace and mercy. God, I praise you for the hope of heaven. And God, we look forward tonight to the return of your Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Have your way in this service, Jesus. God, anoint us to speak your word. Lord, you know everyone that's here tonight. Minister in a way that only you can, and we'll glorify you for it, Jesus. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah. Earlier in this chapter, this is the beginning of what is referred to as Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. In the first few verses, from verse 3 all the way to verse 12, Jesus is expounding upon the attitude and the lifestyle that every believer ought to live and to exhibit in their hearts. You and I know that when you encounter someone who says, "I am a Christian," or when you are around someone who claims the title of Christ, it is not very long of being around them that you can figure out very quickly by their attitude, their actions, their speech, of whether or not the things that they say they are in title, of whether or not they really are in heart. Jesus said, "If you are my disciples, keep my commandments. Jesus said in the chapter 5 from 3 to 12, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Blessed are you if you are different, if you're like me. You see, Jesus, really, when we say we are Christians, when we claim the title and the banner of Christianity, we are giving allegiance to Christ. It's very basic tonight, but I want to remind us that the foundations of who we are as an individual ought to be everything that Christ was. Our attitude ought to reflect Christ. Brother Aaron, when we go out into a job site, my attitude has to reflect my Savior. Otherwise, I have no right to claim his title. Jesus said to his disciples, looking at them face to face, "You are the light of the world." Now, when saying this, he is not saying you're better than those who are still in darkness. He's not saying that I'm going to set you up on a pedestal. But what he's saying is, when you exhibit the character that I and only I can put in you, you will automatically shine forth from my being so that the world will see my Heavenly Father. When you live like Christ, people will see Christ. When we live like our own flesh wants us to live and in our own carnal desires, it's not very long until we start taking the pedestal and the throne of our hearts. But if we'll live like Christ, Jesus said, you're the light of the world. Now, what I want to talk to us tonight is this. The enemy wants to dim the lights. It's pretty simple. Sunday night, we showed a PowerPoint presentation from our visiting missionaries, and doing so, to be able to see, we dim the house lights. We're able to control these lights up here and make it softer or brighter. We're able to turn all these lights off. There's switches everywhere. And the reality is this, we like to be in light. Otherwise, tonight, we would gather in here, it's already dark outside, and we wouldn't be able to see what's happening, who's speaking. You probably know by the voice by now, but you know what I'm saying? We like to be in light. There's a reason why in the middle of winter, people like to go to Florida for vacation, because it's dreary and it's dark and it's not very fun. Man, summertime, you love being outside. I think some people garden not because they need the food and not because they even like it, just because they like to be outside. Some people play various sports that they're not very good at, but they just like being outside, and it's that light. The other night, I thought about not saying this, but I'll go ahead. It's kind of funny. The other night, I had a nightmare in the middle of the night. I don't have nightmares very often. I can sleep pretty sound, but I had a nightmare the other night. Woke up in the middle of the night, man, it was dark. My heart and chest was beating, and I thought I heard somebody breaking in our house. And man, I tell you what, don't break in our house, all right? I went and got it's being recorded, so never mind. I got something to defend the home. And I'm walking through the home like a police officer and all that, and nothing. It's probably the water softener. I don't know. But in that moment of darkness, I got afraid because I thought I heard something. Imagination. But the reality is this. We don't like being in the dark. It's not fun. Ladies, it's not safe to be alone in a dark alley at night. Now, you might say, hey, I'll take on anybody that wants to come talk to me. That's up to you. But the reality is, it's not safe to be at night alone. You see, in times of darkness, things happen that normally wouldn't happen in the day. A lot of crimes happen at night because of that veil of darkness, the ability to not see who is committing the crime. And a lot of things happen at night that otherwise wouldn't happen in the daytime. There's a lot of establishments that board up their windows because they don't want anybody to see what's going on inside. And they want it to be darker because of the sinful lifestyle. The darkness surrounds us at all times, spiritually. But even in the physical realm, we don't like the dark very much. We're trained to sleep in the dark unless you work third shift, and then you have to change your lifestyle. We're not meant to be creatures of the night. And yet we see that this world around us right now is so driven in darkness. In the book of Isaiah, it talks about that there's a group of people, because of the sin in their hearts, it's like they're groping for a wall as a blind man. They have no direction in life. They're not able to see what is going on around them. They live in perpetual darkness. Tonight, my friends, there are folks that live in spiritual darkness. They have no ability to see what is good for them. They have no ability to ascertain whether or not this is good or this is bad. In the middle of the night, if you're thirsty and there's no way to see, how do you know if you're drinking poison or water? In the middle of the night, if you are hungry and you just happen to stumble upon something, but you're not able to know what you're eating, how do you know what you're partaking in? Listen, there is a reason why the world around us is sinful. And I'm not trying to put all the blame on the enemy, but the reality is this: sin is still dark. And there are folks all around us that are crying out for somebody to bring the light to them. They want to see. They want to know what they're doing in this life. Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, "You are the light of the world." And in that moment, he gave them purpose. He gave them meaning. Listen, I'm glad I have a purpose tonight. A world of darkness is a world void of purpose. There are folks all around us tonight who, in their inner man, in their heart, they are so longing for purpose, and they are longing for the light, and that light is Jesus Christ. Now, don't dim the lights. The enemy would like to dim the lights tonight. Who are the lights? It's you and I. Now, what is this dimming? I want to break it down tonight. To dim, the first thing would be the enemy wants to divide us. How do you dim the spiritual lights of the church? You divide the church. You come in and you sow discord among the brethren. You come in and you sow bitterness between brothers and sisters. It's really hard for the church to be effective if they don't like each other. It's hard for brothers and sisters to reach out to the world around them when they can't even reach across the table in a hand of fellowship. The enemy would love to bring division amongst the people of God. That's his first plan, to try and dim the light of the church, is to bring division amongst the people. Isn't it amazing today how easily we are offended, and how easy it is to be bristled up in our pride, or to be hurt because of something that we perceive someone said, or because something happened in a way that we didn't like it, and all of a sudden division happens, and now you've got a church split going on, or you've got a family split, or you've got people, friends that were friends for years, are no longer in communion and fellowship. The enemy loves that kind of stuff. Because if we're so focused on us, we can't spread the light of Jesus Christ. He'd love to divide the church tonight. He'd like to infect us, the eye. He'd like to infect us with sin. The Bible said in the Old Testament the Israelites had been conquering as God had commanded them to take control of the land of Canaan. And they're going to different cities. And even though they are smaller in number, when God's behind them, they have no problem in victory. And they are conquering the land just as God had commanded them. It was a land of promise. And he said, "Take it." And they're going. But he also gave them stipulations. Just as he does with us today when we are in the midst of spiritual warfare, or we are in the midst of battle, he said, "Do not take of the land." Don't take anything. You don't need their clothes. You don't need their precious items. You don't need their animals, and you don't need them. Stay away from them. All you need is me, and I'll take care of you. And that's how they were making it, Sister Norvell. They made it just fine when they were going through the land. God was going before them. But a man named Achan saw some beautiful garments and some precious metals, and he craved those things. And he went ahead and took them in disobedience to God's word, and he hid them under his tent. Nobody knew but Achan. But the next battle, the Israelites go out and they are slaughtered. And they come back and asking, "What in the world has happened?" God said, "There's sin in the camp. Infection. What is infection? When an outside bacteria or an outside agent from outside the body gets in the system and begins to cause disease. Now, here's the thing. The nice thing about God is this. He knows our hearts. He knows us tonight better than we know ourselves. There's times folks have lived with disease and not even known it. But God, He sees it in an instant. The moment Achan brought that sin into the camp, immediately God took His hand off of them of protection. Tonight, one of the quickest ways for the church to lose God's anointing is for sin to infect the camp. You see, when we bring sin in, when we bring the outside world's motives and we bring the outside world's standards and we bring their attitude, we bring their way of doing things, we bring their lifestyle into the church, automatically we are proclaiming to God, we do not need you. And when that infection begins to set in, it will ultimately spread to its surroundings. We must not allow the enemy to infect our hearts with sin. We do not have to sin. That ideology that you have to sin every day because you are a man is so wrong on so many levels. God has given us the ability to love Him, to serve Him, and if we have a mistake, to take our sins to the Father through the advocate Jesus Christ the righteous and know that He can purify us and sanctify us. We can't allow the enemy to infect us. And the last way for the enemy to dim the lights is to mask the truth. Here Jesus said, if you've got a candle and you're trying to light the way, who's really going to put that under a bushel and hide it? I mean, how many of you, when the power goes out in the middle of the winter, take your flashlight, put it in a bowl, and just cover it up and say, that's pretty good? No, that's silly. You need the light. You need it. How many of you, when you are needing a fire and it's cold, you build the fire, Ryan Michael, and then you just cover it up with a blanket and say, man, I feel pretty warm? That's silly. You build the fire for the warmth and the light. You turn the flashlight on because you need the light. But the enemy would love for us to have the light in here and cover it up when we go outside. He doesn't care if we have the light in here. It doesn't matter to Him if we don't tell anybody. If I can be a Christian in the church and different on the outside and cover this light up and I don't spread the light to anybody else, He said, you're a city on a hill. What does that even mean? That means anybody that's traveling from beneath where you're at will have a point of reference and say, that is where the light is. When you are up on a hill, everything beneath you is able to be seen. And when you're up on a hill, you're able to look down and see everybody else. When you're coming out of Kentucky on I-75 and you crest that part of the mountain, and right as you're over the Ohio River and the city of Cincinnati is lit up, it is a beautiful sight to see all the lights and the buildings, and you see everything. You'd have to be blind not to see that at nighttime. Why? Because there's so much light there. You can even see it before you've crested that mountaintop, because the light shines in the darkness. And if we allow the enemy to get it in our minds that we can mask or put on a cover of what God is doing in our hearts here but not show it to the world around us, we are gravely mistaken at what God's intentions are. We are to live the light inside the church house so that when we get outside, the world around us can see Jesus Christ. The Bible said a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You cannot live two lifestyles for long. You'll either live like the Lord or you'll live like the enemy. That's just reality. So how do we shine? How do we shine the light of Jesus Christ? I've just got a few things and we'll close. The first thing we do is we sing a song of worship. You want to shine the light, you worship God. Amen. I don't know how often it is, but I love to either be driving down the road and look over and you see a bumper sticker, K-Love, 96.9, 90.3 The Path, 93.7. You look over in that vehicle, that individual singing praise to God. You know, they're just going down the road. That excites me. That encourages me. How many of you ever been in a store when you've heard somebody humming a tune or singing a Christian song? And man, there's something about worshiping God that it gets a hold of the people around you. Listen, if you're complaining all the time, it's going to be really hard to worship God too. I wonder if people really understand that the light of God does not shine in bitterness. The light of God does not shine in frustration or complacency, but the light of God will shine every time when we worship Him. The psalmist David said, He hath put a new song in my mouth. Hallelujah. And really, if we will set our hearts to worship God outside of the church and inside the church, we will see that the light of Jesus Christ begins to illuminate and go forth and reach those around us. Shine. We'll have a heart of purity. Have a heart of purity. I'm telling you, Jesus knows our hearts. I'm so glad that when we fall or make a mistake or mess up, His grace is sufficient for us. Hallelujah. And listen, church, when we realize that we must be pure before God, our hearts, He will clean them up. He'll wash them. I'm telling you, it's a ministry to know someone with a clean heart. The world around you knows if your heart is pure or not. It can tell, it can discern between someone that's fake and putting on a front and somebody that's living in a pure manner, because the light of Christ just shines forth and it ministers. How do we shine? We get the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Church, we need Him more today than we've ever needed Him. The power and the purity that the Spirit of God brings, it is essential to our victory. He is essential to our lifestyle. He is essential to our ministering to the world around us. It is the infilling of the Holy Ghost, that baptism in the sweet Spirit of God that changes us and empowers us to do what we couldn't do on our own. Young people, we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost tonight. Adults, we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost tonight. It's not an old-fashioned thing. He's real today, and He wants to be amongst us just as much as the Lord does. We need the filling of the Spirit of God. The infilling of the Holy Ghost will make us shine bright as the sun. Hallelujah. And we need to kneel in continual prayer. Now, I know kneel is a K. All right, I play Scrabble. I know that that's not really an N, but I needed an N sound. All right, so just bear with me. We shine by kneeling in prayer. Church, we've got to pray. I was reading a little while back on Brooklyn Tabernacle, the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, you know, the church. And Pastor Jim Cymbalist said the reason that their church has grown was not because of talent and not because of opportunity, but because they had continual prayer meeting. And there was moments in that prayer meeting where they would be calling out an individual's name and God would minister to that person in a spiritual way, and they would end up coming in right in the middle of prayer meeting and get saved. Folks, we've got to pray. There's young people that are battling things in our youth group and their homes that would be worse than a movie today. We've got to pray. We've got things going on amongst us that are coming against our families, coming against our homes, our jobs, our nation. We need to pray to the Almighty God who is able. And when God's people start praying, the light of Jesus Christ will shine forth. Folks know that, hey, there's something to this prayer thing. It's not just meditation. It's not just saying a couple ohms. We're talking to God. And when we get on our knees and really get focused on prayer, there's no telling what God can do. Hallelujah. Right in the middle of Afghanistan, sister, we were praying today. Hallelujah. God knows right where His children are tonight. And He knows what we have need of. And when we call out to God in prayer, He hears our cry. Hallelujah. How many parents tonight, you've had a sick child and you've called out to God and He has touched that child? Hallelujah. How many times have we had a financial need and God meet that need in a miraculous way? I can raise my hand and say yes to that. God is ministering. And when we get a hold of Him, it's not a wish factory, but when we get in communion with God and get on our knees, God will move in our behalf. Hallelujah. And the final way that we shine is we evangelize like never before. The world around us is in darkness. They need the light of Jesus Christ. And sometimes they may not even know it. I have astigmatism in my left eye. It's pretty severe. And if I'm in a store like Walmart or whatever, man, when I go outside and it's a bright day, it takes me a few seconds to get adjusted. I can't hardly see. I have to close my eyes and just get adjusted again to the light. Man, I'm telling you what, when that brightness hits you, you know it. There's folks out there that you shine that light of Jesus Christ, it might feel like they're drawing back. But maybe for the first time, they're understanding there's something else out there I didn't even realize I needed. And that light may be looking like they're drawing away. But before too long, the light of Jesus Christ starts saturating their spiritual eyes, and they see, oh man, I gotta have this. I need him. I need Jesus. You see, the world may not realize that there is forgiveness of sin. The world may not realize he can take away the guilty heart. The world may not know that Jesus is able to change an individual, somebody that might have made mistakes, somebody that might have lived an awful lifestyle, but they come to Jesus Christ, and it doesn't matter who they are. He makes them white as snow. They may not have ever heard that there's salvation. They may not have ever known that there's an ability to have a different way to live. But when the light of Jesus Christ starts shining on them, it may look like they're drawing back, but they may just now be realizing there's something more to this. And it's not too long until they say, I need that light. Listen, I'm not trying to say we're better than anybody else out there. I'm just reminding us we've got a job to do, and that's share the light of Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus. Our attitudes ought to start with him. Our ministries ought to revolve around him. Our lifestyles ought to resemble him. He is everything that we need. And when we live like him, the light will have to go forth and it'll glorify the Father. Hallelujah. Listen, church, that's why we're alive today. If we have forgotten the fact that we have a purpose, and that's to share the light of Jesus Christ, let us be reminded today that the ministry is everything. That serving God and serving the kingdom of God is everything. That's what Christianity is about. When we love the world around us enough to share the light of Jesus Christ with them, the Lord will get the glory. Amen. Music, would you come tonight? Jesus said, you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men put a candle under a bushel, but on a candlestick. Don't hide it. Just live for him. Tonight I want to ask us a question. Is there any more that we can do to shine the light? Don't dim the lights. Don't dim them. Let's blare them. Let's shine greater than we've ever shown before. It's not about us. If our lights are shining, and they, you know, there's different things advertising through lights, but if my sign is shining Brian, that's not the right advertisement. If my lights are shining anything other than Jesus Christ, I'm not shining right. But I'm telling you what, when Jesus starts to be shining, the Bible said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Hallelujah. I appreciate the fact that here in a few weeks, we've got glow in the dark. It's less than a month away. Actually, it's a month from today. We need to shine. You say, I'm not in the puppet ministry. That's all right. You can be in the candy ministry. I'm not in the glow-in-the-dark ministry. I'm not in the children's ministry. We need some team leaders. We need somebody to wrap an arm around a child and say, you did a great job putting that little ball through that clown's mouth. You did a great job throwing that balloon. You did this right. We need to shine the light of Christ today greater than we ever have before. Amen. Let's just shine the light. Don't dim your light. Don't be afraid to shine for Jesus Christ. Let's stand tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to invite the church to come tonight. Let's seek the Lord. Oh, I want more of him. See, in moments like this, when we start to reflect and search our hearts, we realize sometimes, Brother Heath, I feel like I'm a 40-watt bulb. Need to be 100. I just don't feel like I'm bright enough. There's moments where I feel so insignificant, like I just need more. I'm thankful tonight that God can give more. You might need a touch tonight. Maybe a change in attitude. Maybe tonight you need to forgive someone that's hurt you, or maybe you've hurt somebody else. It doesn't matter what it is. God just wants us to shine. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Brother Aaron, folks are going to see it. Folks are going to see it if you're living right. I want to shine. Hallelujah. Let's find a place to pray tonight. Tonight, if you don't know Jesus Christ, I want you to come. With these, we use these altars up here, or these steps as an altar. Come and join us in prayer. Don't dim the light of Jesus Christ.